With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on? I'm talking with Barney from Napalm Death, and they're going to be coming to town. Actually, now that we mention it, they're going to be coming to town with Arch Enemy. They're going to be coming to town with Behemoth, and it's going to be an epic show. They're going to be coming back to the Northwest. Unto Others also on that gig. Very cool band. We saw you recently. You played with Guar. Unfortunately, I Hate God had to drop off that because they tested positive. Yeah. That day for COVID, what was it like getting back on the road in the United States amidst, you know, this up and down pandemic? What was that like for you, man?
Yeah, I mean, we'd only really done one gig before that in the UK. Yeah. So, yeah, it was strange, you know, and there was a lot of protocols to stick to because obviously, you know, you want to make the effort to take care of yourselves and everybody else around you, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was strange, you know. But at the same time, we hadn't played like anybody really for the last almost 2 years, the previous 2 years. And so doing a shorter support tour like that actually we thought would be a good idea, you know, kind of sort of to get us back into it, you know, gradually or whatever. But no, it was good. I mean, the thing with Guar was some might say two polar opposite bands, but they have a certain satirical side to them which kind of sort of connects with Napalm Death. And above and beyond that, you know, they were just like super nice people, you know. I mean, really treated us the way you should treat others, you know, the way you expect to be treated. So yeah, it was good. It worked, you know. It got us. I think it exposed us to people who wouldn't have heard us before, wouldn't go and seek us out, probably. So yeah, it was pretty good.
So one thing you were saying how there's connected tissue between you guys and a band like Guar, even though you might not expect to. I was just thinking about one thing. I mean, they are originally like punk kids that created. Yeah. They were art students that created their own stuff, and so at the core of it, as they've gotten bigger, they're still DIY. They make their own costumes, you know, and you guys are obviously a very DIY, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we had a few conversations with them about that, you know. It was there was definitely some parallels, you know, from the early days of us and the early days of them. So it was a good time. You know, there was none of this, you know, we're the headliners and you're the support. You know, everybody kind of intermingled, you know, and just as you would if you walked into a pub, you know, with meeting friends or whatever. It was that kind of atmosphere, you know. pretty pleasant. So
I was looking back, you know, I'm on Facebook, and a few weeks ago there was like a Facebook memory, and it popped up of when I saw you guys play with Melvins and Melt Banana. And I just got to say, Melt Banana had it right before everyone else. They're all wearing the masks. They got the coat.
Yeah, Japan has a wholesale culture of that. You know, if you go to Japan anytime, you'll see a very high percentage of people wearing masks. You know, because Japan is very attuned to, infections and, viruses and stuff like that. That's how they do it. Oh, I've spent a lot of time in Japan. You know, one of my very long-time girlfriends is Japanese, so I lived amongst that. And, above and beyond everything else, I'm all for it, you know, because I just think it shows, that you actually are considerate of your fellow human beings. Yeah. You know, I just think it's not a great imposition. I would disagree that some people believe it is. I really don't think it is, you know. Yeah. And I'm quite willing to do that, you know. I know masks aren't 100%, but at least, you know, they limit any sort of exhalation of virus, whether it's coronavirus or anything else. You know, it certainly limits that, you know. So,
well, the reason we're talking today, obviously, is you guys have an EP that's out today. It's an 8-song EP. I'm assuming so. I didn't read specifically. Is it all B-sides from the last record?
I wouldn't necessarily call it B-sides. It's just tracks that were left over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, B-sides might infer that
that's a good point,
they're somehow not up to the mark, but they are, you know. It's just they didn't fit in, or in our opinion, you know, so they just didn't fit into the context of the running order of the album at the time. I mean, they're literally from the throes sessions, the last album, so yeah.
And then that's out today. And something that is really badass is you guys got to cover, like, in my opinion, probably the first hardcore band, Bad Brains, or one of the first hardcore bands, Bad Brains. That must have been special.
That's
for
always
you.
Up for debate. Right, you know? Right. But I mean, great, you know. It could have been one of 1,000 bands, you know, but we just happened to be Bad Brains this time, you know. So.
Okay, well, I recently talked with Corpse Grinder, obviously from Cannibal Corpse, and we actually talked about, you know, his love. He grew up with hardcore too, New York hardcore, Cro-Mags, stuff like that. What are your favorite hardcore band, punk hardcore? What are a few of your favorite hardcore punk records?
I mean, man, how long have you got? You know, I've got a list longer than your arm and about 100 other people's arms together. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I'm really, Siege from Boston was one of the big ones for me. And Napalm, you know, Napalm wouldn't sound the way it does, probably, you know, if not for Siege. Bands like SOB from Japan, Systematic Death also from Japan, GBH from Birmingham, actually, from the UK.
Yeah.
Bands like Anti-Cymex, Mob 47. Kaus from Finland, you know, a lot of Scandinavian stuff, a lot of US stuff. Who else? Deep Wound, you know, Jay Maskis band and Dinosaur Jr., you know, Infest, you know. There's tons of stuff, you know, that's absolutely tons and tons and tons. So I do like New York hardcore stuff, but it wasn't. There are other parts of hardcore that had more of a direct influence on Napalm Death, you know. So
cool, man. Well, you know, some of this stuff is you can only get on vinyl or small presses and stuff. I'm assuming you probably have pretty nice record collection. Are you a record collector?
Yeah, I got a ton of stuff. Yeah, I got a ton of stuff, but I don't buy anymore because I don't have the space for it.
Yeah,
and B, some of the pricing is absurd. You know,
right?
I mean, it really is. You know, so. So I kind of steer clear of it, really, you know. But that's just me, you know. I don't want to directly criticize other people, but I can only speak for myself, you know. If I was selling stuff like that, I would reasonably price it, you know, so not massive profiteering, because I just I don't, that's not particularly palatable to me, you know. So
look at you continuing to be the enemy of the music business. Music.
Well, yeah, nice segue, I suppose. But I mean, you know, it's just, I just think it's, I don't know really how to put it, for want of a better phrase, it's just decency, you know, to not do that, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, I have kind of an odd question, but you know, in the last interview I was watching with you, I like to do, you know, a little bit of prep before the interviews. And I've noticed that you wear, anti-fascist t-shirts and obviously, you know, being an anti-fascist band, you know, Napalm Death for as, I mean, that's kind of in the DNA of the band, obviously, you know, what is it odd for you to see news companies using, you know, anti-fascist or Antifa as an enemy and kind of painting it as like the bad guys? Is that odd?
I just
for you?
Don't think they understand it. They don't understand where Antifa actually come from. There's so many incorrect, you know, sort of catch-all descriptions of Antifa as an entity. For one thing, they tend to term it as one mass of people. It's not. It's a disparate kind of collection of different groups and different people. It's not one thing, you know. And let's be honest, I do find it really mad, you know, that even if people, I think the problem is that when people like refer to Antifa, what they're talking about, anti-fascism, you know, and Antifa has just become kind of a bogey word for it almost, you know. Anti-fascism, if it wasn't for anti-fascism, speaking for the UK, about nearly 100 years ago now or something around that, there was a march through London of the British Union of Fascists, you know, who had designs on basically terrorizing the population as much as they could, because that's what it really comes down to. Yeah. And there were many people came out on the streets under the anti-fascist umbrella and stopped them, you know what I mean, on the streets. So I would suggest that for people to kind of be really down on it, they're kind of not seeing the effects of anti-fascists not being there at very important points of history. If it wasn't for them, the world would arguably be a very different place, and you would be living under forces such as was Hitler's various arms of his regime. You know, there's an argument to say that that might be the case, you know. So people should be careful what they wish for, really, you know, because a lot of these people under the Antifa umbrella have done the dirty work that a lot of the rest of us wouldn't be prepared to do, you know. So that would be my take on it, really, you know. I'm not one to glorify violence, that's for sure. I don't like it. I really don't like it at all. But I can also understand where it has been necessary throughout history to deal with that stuff, you know. Yeah, I mean, I really, it seems odd because I'm a pacifist, you know. I really do like kind of try to toe that line. But I find myself challenged, you know, by that when that sort of stuff comes along. So, I mean, you know, that's my thing with it, really. You know, I mean, we still have, I know in the US has big problems with it, but we also have elements over here in the UK of people that just, I don't know, I don't know where the vitriol and where the bitterness and where the suspicion of other people, where they have no grounds to do so, where it comes from. I just fail to understand it or comprehend it as a human being, you know. So
anger and fear, right? Just fear mostly, you know. So.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, okay, so let's, you know, talking a little bit more about the band and Napalm Death, and thank you very much for answering honestly with me.
Hey, man, I'll take any question that comes to me. Nothing is ever off limits, you know. Awesome.
So you guys, you know, continue to evolve your sound. It would be easy to kind of rest on your laurels. You guys are very well known for, you know, being a band, and you guys have a huge audience that would probably buy anything you put out, but you guys continue to innovate and try new things, which is fucking rad. Who would you say is kind of in charge? Is there a primary songwriter, or is it a kind of a mutual thing? And then, you know, what motivates you guys to continue innovating?
Well, I'll deal with the last part first. Sure. So Shane tends to be the main songwriter now. It used to be Shane and Mitch. Mm-hmm. Shane writes the music. I write the lyrics. That's the general split of things.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's just the way it works for us and the way it works well for us, you know. I forgot the first part of your question.
No problem. So, like, what continues to motivate you guys to keep evolving?
Okay, yeah. I mean, you know, for us, we could, of course, like, make the same album twice, quite easily, and we hope it would still be good, you know, to people. Sure. But we kind of figure, what's the point? You know, it would be kind of cheating ourselves and cheating a large part of the people that want to listen to us, you know, because as we take our art, and we do consider it that, I would use that term, we take it really seriously, you know what I mean? It's I would never put my name to anything. Even though Napalm has a spontaneity as a band, it's very, it definitely has that organic spontaneity. Whatever we release still has to have a certain standard. For us, you know, and of course it's all subjective, you know. So once it goes beyond us, then it is subjective whether it has that standard. But from us, you know, we live and die by our own decisions. So therefore, to keep part of that is to keep pushing it forward. But with the cornerstone of abrasiveness, of extremity, because if you don't have those things sonically, then it's not Napalm Death anymore. Well, what's the point, you know? Yeah. So it still has to be married to that, you know, those two things, loosely speaking, you know. So, yeah, we just there's lots of extremity across the musical spectrum.
Yeah.
That isn't just confined to metal or punk and hardcore, you know. There is tons of stuff out there that Napalm has directly referenced in its sound down the many, many years, you know. So that's what we'll continue to do. And hopefully people like it, you know, because, again, you know, you live and die by your own artistic decisions. So.
Absolutely, man. And you know, I congratulate you guys on so many killer records. Again, you do have to mention the album. The new one is out now. It's called Resentment Is Always Seismic, A Final Throw of Throws. And
yeah, sorry, it's always a bit of a mouthful. Apologies for that.
Hey, what's up? We're Napalm Death. This is from Resentment Is Always Seismic, A Final Throw of Throws.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck fitting that on the sleeve of a metal shirt, you know?
Yeah. That's why we don't do metal shirts, really, because it's too impractical, you know? So.
Okay. Just curious, like, what kind of stuff do you enjoy, like, outside of Napalm Death related stuff? That's what we know Barney from, but, like, you know, on a day-to-day basis, do you watch football, you watch soccer, do you like going to the pub, like
a typical stereotypical bloody European, you know? I watch football, you know. I got my home team, obviously. I've spoken about it recently in a couple of interviews. I've been asked about it. So I love video games. I always have done.
Oh, cool.
Ever since I was a little kid, and I actually had the Intellivision, which is the one with the kind of telephone cords on the thing. Ever since then, man, I've always been fascinated by that medium, you know. So, I love video games. And then aside from that, really, I do a lot of cycling, you know, endurance cycling.
Oh, cool.
Stuff like that. Yeah, so I got into that during lockdown quite intensively, because what else is there to really do, you know, at that point? So that, and, you know, generally just try and enjoy life, you know. Got a spread of different interests that take up small amounts of time, and just try to be happy, you know. That's the main point to everything, I think.
Well, the long distance cycling and stuff, that makes sense, because you have insane cardio on stage. That's one thing, is, you know, as my friend was joking, he said, as you know, you get older, you look younger. Like, you're aging in reverse, dude.
Thanks, man. Someone actually made a joke. I can't even paraphrase it, you know, but it was some Benjamin Button type joke, you know, and I thought it was quite funny, you know. But part of that, in all seriousness, is I've always generally looked after myself. And I think also it has to be mentioned, you know, that, like, a vegan diet, like, works really well for that, you know, not only internally, but also your skin externally, the condition of your skin and stuff like that. So, I can only say what works for me, you know, but I find that it works really well, you know. So.
Okay. Interesting. So you said you're really into video games. What are a few that you love playing? Like, if you're having a day and you want to pop on a video game, what's a game that you'll go to?
Oh, I love the Yakuza games, which is a series of very Japan-centric games. I started with the very first one when it came out on the last PlayStation 2, sorry.
Yep.
And I followed it ever since. You know, it's really intensive. You know, open world games have become really the thing, you know, but they, like, games like Yakuza were doing it way back when, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love the small details, like going to a shop and buying a energy drink or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love all that sort of almost like a town type setup, you know. Yes. I love that stuff.
So what do we got to do to get you a Barney Napalm Death's Twitch stream, where you're playing games and interacting with the Napalm Death? Is that interesting?
Yeah, I don't do social media, unfortunately.
Ah, there you go.
I don't have any accounts at all anywhere with anything, you know, because, you know, not that I'm afraid of it or anything, but I don't have the time, you know, to do. I don't have the time to dedicate to it, really. And to be honest, you know, I've lived without it for this long, you know. I can live with it a bit longer, you know. I mean, Shane takes care of all the napalm stuff, and I'm quite happy for him to do that, you know, just say that. So.
I will say you're probably much better mentally for it.
Sure. I mean, but I'm not afraid of it. And, sure. You know, I actually think it, in a lot of ways, it's one of the last vestiges of open monologue and dialogue, you know. So I know there is a lot of pressures on it to be curbed, but I would be cautious of that, in as much as I know there's some really heinous stuff on there, you know, I'm still loath to see it, you know, like massively censored. I think the main problem is the companies themselves that host it. They are, they just seem to be as bad as any other corporation. Mm. That would be my thinking. You know, so.
Definitely. Well, okay, so just a couple goofy questions to end this. You know, with as many songs as Napalm Death has, I got to know, do you ever just forget your lyrics on stage? Have you ever, has that happened to you?
No, man, no, never actually. I'm pretty good. I've got quite a photographic memory, you know. So if you pull songs out from whenever, I could probably sing them like right there and then without gone over them for a long time. I mean, we're starting a UK tour in a few weeks' time, and obviously we played back in December was the last time, so I will go through it quite a few times to refresh myself. But even when I'm fresh to it after a time of not singing, I still actually remember the basis of the stuff. I just have to kind of practice it a few times. Sure. You know, so.
Okay, cool, man. Well, kudos to you, man. That's quite impressive.
Well, I mean, you know, I think if you ask a lot,
I mean, it is your job.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it a job necessarily, but, you know, it's like, I'm sure with a lot of singers in bands who have to become familiar with their own stuff, I'm sure it's probably quite commonplace that a lot of singers would know, you know, their material without doing it for a little while, you know. Sure. I don't think I'm particularly special in that regard.
Okay. Well, what's something that you enjoy listening to? Like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you want to put on a record. Are you just most of the time extreme music, or do you enjoy some different kind of?
No. I like all kinds of stuff. Actually, a lot of the stuff I like has an extreme edge to it. It's not necessarily abrasive music, but, you know, can be extreme. I mean, what am I listening to recently at the moment? Like Alien Sex Fiend, which is an old kind of goth sort of band. What else am I listening to? Oh, Explosions in the Sky, who are really
beautiful
love.
Band. Yeah.
Oh, magnificent. You know, I love that kind of ambient sort of, taking time to reach a crescendo kind of thing, you know. I love that, you know.
I saw them open for Nine Inch Nails. I don't think most of the crowd was you know, getting hot dogs and just like waiting around, but I was like, I got to get there early to see Explosions. That was really
cool. Yeah, they're great, you know. What else I couldn't even name you anything right now.
No worries, man, no worries.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sorry, man. I always draw a blank, you know, when I'm sort of doing this, you know.
That's why, you know, that's why if we're talking about digital music, that's why I prefer an iPod to streaming, because I like to have my full catalog there. And I'm like, I get to see everything. I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't thought about that. Is if I ever click to like look up an artist on streaming, I'm always like, I just space. I'm like, I know so many artists, but I don't know any at all.
Yeah, man, I've got tons, you know, lined up in whatever it is. And I'd have to turn it on and look at it. You know, it just, the names escape me right now, you know. So.
Fair enough, man. Okay, well, my last question for you. We've asked you this before, but because this is on video, I figured it would be more appropriate. If you could pick a scar on your body, show us, if you can, and tell us a quick story of how you got the scar.
Wow, I do have one somewhere, but it's barely recognizable now. No, you can't even see it on camera. See, it's quite purple there.
Okay.
See that, yeah.
A little bit.
Now, I believe, although I might have actually done something else to it over time, but when I was at school, so it's a long time ago, I was messing with some kid in front of me, like smacking the back of his head, and he turned around with a compass. I think you call it, you know, a school compass.
Yes.
And he stabbed me with a compass. You know, actually, no, sorry, I apologize. It's actually on the back of my hand. It's on the back of my hand, round about there.
Okay.
The kid just stabbed me in the back of the hand with the compass. So, you know, whilst I don't condone violence at all, that'll can teach me, you know what I mean? I should say.
Jesus, not going to mess
I actually don't blame him because he was trying to concentrate and I was smacking the back of his head like the whole time, you know, yeah. and then he turned around and stabbed me with the compass, you know. And,
here's a new Napalm Death song, Stabbed with a Compass. Nice.
Well, yeah.
Awesome. Barney, thank you so much for taking the time.
All right, Kevin.
Any final words for Metal Shop in the Northwest?
That's a nice sleep poster behind there.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's my final words. You know?
Awesome, man. Well, thank you very much. Have a good one, dude.
All right, man. All the best, Kevin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.